All right, guys, welcome to our first episode of Gen Talks. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about jobs. And just in case you didn't listen to our intro, Gen Talks, G-E-N, Generational Talks, we're bridging the generational gap. I'm a millennial, 23 years old. Katie is Generation X, 46 years old. So two totally different backgrounds, totally different generations, but talking about things like jobs and just kind of seeing how our opinions kind of cross and what we can learn from each other as people from totally different generations. So I guess to start out, one cool thing that's going on in my life right now that is totally applicable to the topic of jobs, I just quit my job that I had for 2 years. It was my dream job coming out of college.
Come back up just a little bit. What did you want to be when you were a little girl?
Yeah, okay, that's good.
What was your, like, a little girl, what did Caitlin want to be?
So, ever since I was little, I have, like, had, I was always writing a play or a book in my mind, having people illustrate it for me, or I had a video camera, always. So, I knew that I wanted to do something that was, like, entertaining. So, I wanted to be on TV ever since I was little.
iPhones would have come in really handy
would have,
when you were
totally.
Little.
I would have been like a child YouTube sensation. I would have bugged my mom until she recorded me.
And it's not too late.
So I decided when I was probably about 15 years old, I wanted to be a Good Morning America news anchor. So I never changed my mind from then till went through college. Friends were changing their majors, couldn't decide. And I was like, wow, that's unfortunate because I know exactly what I want to do. Like, I know God wants me to be a news anchor. And I knew for sure that I would be in the communications field. So I got a mass communications degree, emphasis in broadcast journalism, did some marketing minor, and right out of college, got a job at a news station and started doing the digital side of things. Not where I wanted to be, but it was a start. Worked my way up to do traffic reporting, foot in the door, definitely like a, I can't believe they let me be on air. And then moved from that into full-time on-air reporting. So I was where I wanted to be, what I wanted to be doing. And I found myself not very happy. It was weird because I was getting to tell these stories, getting to meet all these people and do what I had always dreamt of doing. But the reality of it was that it was nothing what I thought it was. The work environment that I was in was very negative. It was very draining. The hours were terrible. I was waking up at 4, going in at 5, which many of my coworkers were waking up at 2 in the morning or working until 11 at night. So it's...
I just Googled this while you were talking.
Yeah.
The movie Up Close and Personal was a film from 1996, and it was about a news reporter. And
I've
just remember every time you talk about like being like a traffic reporter and getting your foot in the door, it's all about that. It's with Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer.
You told me about that.
Yes, but that's the name of it because I Googled it. Now
yep.
I know.
Yep.
So, okay, keep going.
Yeah, no, I need to watch that.
Up Close
that sounds
and
good.
Personal.
But yeah, totally like getting my foot in the door and I just felt, it's like the whole 2 years was rocky and I was like, but I have like a what's next? Like I'm waiting on the next step and the next step would come. And then it was like, but there's a next step. But then I got to, you know, be a reporter, which of course the next step would have been to be an anchor. And then it's okay. Do I want to stay here and be an anchor, move cities, move a million times, pick up my, which at the time I was single, no boyfriend, no fiance, nothing. And
what's changed on
that front? And then I got engaged. Never expected that. But in getting engaged and finding someone that I was in love with and wanted to spend my life with, it made me realize, okay, there's more to life than a career. And I don't have to go to work every day and be unhappy just to get to the next step because life is not about a job. And you can definitely use your job for great things and to pour into people and
to
make a difference.
Add value to other people's lives. But you don't. You're right. You don't have to be miserable.
No. And if your job isn't doing that, if it's not helping you be better and helping other people be better.
And that's not to place blame on any work environment or anybody else. It's just we are all so different. And that we are perfectly crafted for different environments to add value to it. And when we're not anymore and we're miserable, we don't have to stay there.
And we're not supposed to stay there.
Nope.
It's we have to grow and we have to learn. And I never would have known if I wouldn't have tried it. So I'm very thankful for the opportunity and that I even got to do what I got to do. But, you know, 2 years later, there I was kind of like, here I am. And I have all these fans on Facebook and people are recognizing me when I'm out in public. Like, hey, you're the girl from TV. And while that's cool and that's fun to see, it's still not, you know, it's still not fulfilling me. And if that's the coolest part of my job, then that's not what it's all about. And
that's when we start to realize that we might be words of affirmation people.
I am for sure.
And I am too. Yeah. But that just accolades or people knowing who we are when there's an just still a hole in our heart.
Yeah.
That we're like, okay, that there's something more. And you and I both agree. I mean, our faith is our foundation.
Yeah.
And so we know that there's purpose and we were crafted for a purpose and that there's something else kingdom-wise that we're to do.
And I learned so much, and it was a pride check, and I've never thought of myself as someone who is prideful. I try to always make sure I stay humble through it all. And while I wasn't, you know, flaunting around like, oh, I'm on TV, whatever, at the end of the day, if that was the only thing making me happy, like you said, there's
if it was all about selfish ambition, you would have just scaled the ladder.
And, right.
The fear there is that at the end of the day, what if our ladder's up against the wrong wall?
That's so good.
And I've heard that somewhere else, but it was a really great visual going, I could strive all day, yeah, every day with selfish ambition and words of affirmation goading me along. But what if I reach the top and I'm up against the wrong wall and I don't want to do that?
Right. Yeah. And that's like, on a small scale, obviously, it's nothing like a major celebrity, but you see these major Hollywood celebrities, and they get there. They get to the top, and every person in the world knows their name, and you'll sit down, you'll hear an interview, and they sit down and say, like, I'm not happy, you know, because you can't fill your life with that. That's not, and it just, it with any career, whether you are a professional athlete or a teacher, and if you're not meant to do that and you find out you're not meant to do that, then you're not going to be fulfilled. And
my dad was a traveling salesman, mm-hmm, and had a great career and never complained and provided for our family. And I can remember him coming to visit me one time in college, and I'm asking him, I'm like, oh, at least you love what you do. And he looked at me and he goes, no, I don't. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was just a pit in my stomach. It was so noble and honorable that he would have worked and done the thing his whole life, but he never loved it. He was never passionate about it. And that part made me sad that he spent a lot of time in a car alone. But he did have a very deep faith, and towards the end of his life, if you couldn't find him, he would be in the closet in his chair with his Bible. And he learned to become very content in the silence, because he spent a lot of time alone. Then when he was with people, he was having to sell the thing, do the thing. And I learned a lot from that. And he was like, you know, you're in college right now, dream big, and you don't have to do something that you're not passionate about. Yeah. And so that was a huge seed planted.
I think that's a big difference in, like, in the generations that
I agree.
We now, when I told my professor, who she, I'm not sure exactly how old she is, 50 something, I guess. She had a career in broadcast radio, left that to be a professor, loves her job now. But when I told her I was quitting, and the fact that I quit without a job lined up, people were like, what? And she said, in not a negative way, she said, that's a very millennial thing you're doing. She said, you guys have figured out early on that it's more important to be happy than it is to have this career. And she said, people like me, we thought that's what it was. We would get a job and we'd stay there for 40 years. She said, so it's really encouraging that, you know, you're taking this leap of faith.
And what I'm saying too is it's not just this selfish pursuit of happiness. It is a happiness that to me is more in line with the true joy. And that it comes from a grateful heart, that key to that joy is being extremely grateful for the opportunities that you've had and that have been provided for you. You don't take them for granted. It's not this, oh, on a whim, you know, it's very thought out, thoughtful, mm-hmm, but it stems from a heart of gratitude. And that is so beautiful to see.
That's a good point too, because I think a lot of people who maybe don't understand that maybe thought, wow, Caitlin just quit her job for no reason just because she wasn't happy. But it's so much more.
More than that.
It's more that I was not happy because I knew that God was calling me somewhere else, even if it didn't make sense in a worldly sense at all. I mean, because I could have moved up and, like you said, moved up that ladder, but it was on the wrong wall. And I've never heard that before, but that's...
It was. They actually did like a visual of that. Yeah. They did a skit and they showed at the end of it, like, he got to the top and there was still this tremendous discontent. And he's like, oh my gosh, my ladder was on the wrong wall.
And what a...
And I don't want to get to the end of my life and say that. And the fact that we know that you know this at 23 and that I'm, 46 and can say, okay, I don't have to have my ladder up against the wrong wall.
No.
But an important part of that is what do we want our wall what to be?
Wall?
If we don't ever define that, we'll never know.
Yeah. And that's good. And I've never thought about that before, but you have to
define pick your wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if that means moving ladders to a different ladder on a different wall, then that's okay too. And I think that's what I'm doing. And I may get a couple rungs up and think, nope, wrong ladder. And
we've been so geared, especially in America, to completely run from discomfort. Mm-hmm. We want to be safe. We want to be comfortable. And risk is totally avoided. And I don't believe that's what we were created to be mm-hmm. like. We were supposed to go all in. It's supposed to be risky and uncomfortable, but there's a peace that can be there in the midst of all of it. And it's fun to get to do that with all generations. Like, I'm seeing people in their 80s go back to school.
Right.
Or a man that was 90 and, like, he painted a portrait of his family. He took up art at 90. And that, to me, is like, we are not done.
No.
Until we're done.
And I had this, and you're, especially being 46 years old, you're going to be like, Caitlin, are you serious?
Well, it's 50.
But it was a while back before all this like life realization. And I was like,
you're coming into something right now where I'm going to feel extremely old is what I can tell.
I was like, oh my gosh, I just feel like I have to get all this done because I feel like my life is over when I'm 30. And I was like, how like ignorant of me to think that. But I think a lot of 20-somethings.
When I'm 50, I'm pretty much dead.
but in saying that, a lot of us younger, like 20-somethings, we think, I have to, there has been such a like pressure on your 20s. I have to have all this fun, do all this travel, meet all these people, do all of this because within around 30, well, I have to have a family and have to do this and have to do this. But you have a family and you create things new every day. And someone told me a story the other day, the guy who founded KFC.
Don't know his name, but I will Google it while you talk.
Okay, please do. Because he apparently was like a dishwasher and then he like worked in the back of another restaurant. Kept having all these jobs, got fired, and was going to commit suicide. He had made up his mind. He was, and at this point,
I wonder if it's Colonel Sanders. I think.
Oh, is it?
It would be Colonel Sanders.
Oh, duh. People are listening, thinking, "Wow,
Colonel Sanders." I'm so sorry, but you know what? Now we know, and we're proud of you. Keep talking about
yes,
him.
Yes, way to go, Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
So yeah, I learned that, and this was I didn't read any of this. One of my engineer friends told me this whole story, and he didn't know his name was Colonel Sanders either, and he was an engineer, so let me just throw it out there. But he was like 60, and he wanted to kill himself. And he,
in the 60s, there it is.
There it
he
is.
Found success.
He finally decided, I'm going to sell this chicken recipe. I mean, what, random. And there was KFC. And he became
it
is really good. He became a billionaire when he was like 70 years old. I mean,
that's another. It said, like, when I Googled it, it said he found success in his 60s. Success can be defined so many different ways.
Yeah.
And I think we use it interchangeably with significance.
Yeah.
I would want to be significant and not for myself.
Right.
Is that I'm seeing that. Mm-hmm. It's like, we want to leave a legacy, something behind us mm-hmm. that will make the world a little bit better than it was than when we were here. And that's significant. Success is very selfish, to speak, when it's defined that way.
But when it's money or power.
Or just power. Or it's all about you.
Status.
You, and what's your brand? What is your number mm-hmm. of followers? What is in this whole new world of language?
Yeah. And going off that, if you have 120 followers, but they're all getting something significant from you, rather than 2 million followers, who, what are you giving them, you know, and right. what are you leaving behind for them? And and it's like you said, it says he found success in his 60s because that's when he left that legacy of, I did this when I was 60 years old.
And but it didn't matter.
He didn't become a billionaire until he's 70 once it's sold, you know, but that's not the point. And that just goes to show that you don't have to figure your life out when you're 23 years old, you know? I mean, what I learned is that my job is not my identity. Like, my identity is rooted in something so much deeper, and it's rooted in knowing who I am in Christ and that I'm on that path.
Well, until everyone finds that, that's what tends to send us on that tailspin of jumping from thing to thing to thing, mm-hmm. looking for contentment. Change is not bad. Changing your path, like the direction you go, does not mean you're discontent necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's always the motive and the heart behind it.
Yeah.
So it can look the same to the world.
Right.
But only you know in your heart, like I'm changing this route. Rarely do I see in the Bible that anyone really goes back the same route.
Yeah.
Rarely did they even know where they were headed.
And what was the verse this morning? It was like, they came in one way, they couldn't go out
yes,
the same way. You don't ever go out the
Ezekiel.
Same way you came in.
Yes, yeah. It was just kind of that Old Testament's a pattern just for the New Testament.
Yeah.
Just as New Testament believers. But he's like, yes, if you come in the south gate, go out the north gate. If you come in the north, go out the south. Is that we should leave changed, and we should also leave, this is one of my favorite statements, mm-hmm. just leave beauty marks in our wake. Mm-hmm. Because too often we just leave a bunch of dead bodies in our wake or shrapnel. And I probably do that in lots of areas until the day I die. But I do know that if we're intentional, we can leave beauty marks.
Yeah, and even if you have left, because when you said that, I think of times in my life where I wasn't okay with me. And I left dead bodies. And I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I was just like, I was terrorizing. But now I'm very intentional in every person I meet. Like, I hope I can leave even a small beauty mark.
Right, and that nothing is wasted, that all of the broken pieces we've left in our past, we can use if we're brave enough mm-hmm. to share with others, to let them stand on our shoulders and see that whatever they've done in the past can actually be used in a good way, made into something new in our green earth.
Woo-hoo! Yes, explain that. You said, okay, I love this.
Is that we are such a go green planet, which mm-hmm. is a great thing. And it's recycling and making something new out of our throwaways or our trash, and not just piling up a bunch of our trash or hiding our trash mm-hmm. or putting our trash in a dump. But if we could use it and use it in a new way, or use it for something totally different. And I do believe that we can do that with our life. It's the things that we hide mm-hmm. or bury that end up causing the biggest stink.
Yeah. Well, it's like when yesterday I had too much trash in my trash. It was like takeout food and this, and my whole apartment stank. And as soon as I took it out, or if I would have recycled some of it.
What can we use it for? I think of like mixed media or mediums. I don't really know.
Media,
which one
that's
it is.
That's right. Yeah.
When you're doing like art, when you have all these different things, or people, like, one person's trash is another person's treasure. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's cliche, but it's just true.
It's just true.
Ooh, this is a good challenge. I had somebody once say, there's so many like religious, but just so many cliches that we are creative people. Start coming up with some new metaphors for your life. And I thought that was so good. I was like, okay, I want to come up with new cliches, so to speak, or new metaphors for my life. And where we go from here.
Yeah. No, I like that. That is good, because we use a lot of the same ones. But I love that when I read that. Like, I feel like a lot of times I try to use that, like things. Like, this is ugly, and I went through this, and it was a struggle, but let me tell you what I learned, because you're going to go through that, and you're going
to
learn.
Instead of trying to hide.
Instead of hiding everything. It and saying, and I think that the cool thing about social media, there's a lot of nasty things about it, but it's the transparency factor of everything looks perfect, but let me show you that it's not. And a lot of people haven't come into that, and they still hide it behind perfect posts, but, you know, those people who come out and say, here's the real behind the scenes, because I'm struggling just like
you are. It helps people tremendously.
It does.
And just the things that you do post, that somebody may never like it, and you may never even know that they've read it, But if you're doing it for the greater good, then no time doing it is wasted.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're honestly, we're all leading people somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not.
And whether it's good or bad.
Right. And if we're not intentional, then we're going to drift. And when we drift, drifting always takes you downstream or stuck.
That's good.
And so if we're not intentional, then we will. We're going to lead people downstream or us to a stuck place. So it's kind of fun to wake up each day going, what can I do intentionally that would lead somebody, even if I don't even know who's following me, because we do all have people following us just like we are.
Yeah.
Is to at least intentionally make it somewhere good and valuable.
And that's so, like, that just resonates with me in this phase of my life, that doesn't have to be when I go to work. That can be when I'm on my lunch break, or what I tweet that day, or when I'm getting coffee, the person behind me. You know, it's just like,
if people overheard our conversations, which y'all are doing right now.
Yeah.
But what would they hear if they overheard? And if we thought about that every day, if we were like, okay, if someone overheard me, would they walk away encouraged? Would they walk away challenged in a good way? Would they walk away believing that they can make a beauty mark?
Yeah. And there's just so many opportunities to do that in so many different parts of the day. And
you walking into a new job, you have an opportunity to go in and create.
Just a blank page. Yeah. And no matter what that job is, and I was telling Katie, when I tell people what I'm going to do next, it's like, oh, that doesn't sound as cool as a news reporter. But that was a pride thing where God had to say, that has nothing to do with your path. This is a place where I want you, and there are new people to impact.
And I love that you were brave enough to say it out loud. Like, clearly you're like, it's not as cool of a job title. And that we do have things within us where we don't even know they're there until we have the next step to take and we realize it's there.
It's there.
And we let him kind of unearth it and pull it out.
Not hurt. It's not fun.
No, but it's something so good on the other side.
It's so good. Yeah. And I feel, I mean, I woke up today and it's only been a few days since this whole transformation, but I just feel free.
Because we can tell people all day long, we are not our job titles.
Right.
We're not defined by that. And then when we have those moments like going,
we have to live it.
I kind of liked, I didn't realize how much I liked that title.
Right.
Or, but again, it's once we learn that about ourselves, then we can step into that new place.
And yeah. Well, okay. I want to hear about, I don't think I even know this, about kind of your journey through jobs and careers. I want to know about that.
Okay, as a little girl, I loved office supplies. And I think I didn't dream big. I loved sticky notes and I loved highlighters and paper clips. And I would just organize this office, but I had no dream of what I was going to do in the office. Like that show, The Office.
Yeah.
Nobody did anything. And I just would organize all of this and then I would get a bunch of typing paper. I don't know what I was going to type about.
I love it.
But at some point, I watched the movie Erin Brockovich, and I was going to be a lawyer, and I was going to be a lawyer, and I was going to just be the voice for the voiceless and change the world. And I went to college trying to follow a boyfriend. That is just such a deep, deep way to go to college. I got in. He did not.
Oh, wow.
I know. And I did early decision. I had no other options.
You had to go.
I had
Thank
to
you
go,
Lord for
and
that.
I met my husband there.
Yay!
So, the other guy was a good guy. He was not my gold. He was somebody else's gold. God had a different gold for me, but I had to let go of my silver, even if I didn't mean to let go of it. I was trying desperately to hold on to it. But so then I was a psychology major, and I think I was still wanting to be a lawyer, but I was like, no, I think I might want to go into counseling.
Okay.
And then I really just quit thinking I was going to do anything. I went into family business when I graduated, but really just as their secretary for my brothers until my boyfriend, soon to be fiance, was going to ask me to get married.
Okay.
And really just was drawing pictures of my wedding dress.
But now,
I know. And so these were all little tiny steps.
Yeah.
I got married and went back and got my teaching certificate only because at the time you had to teach 3 years to be a guidance counselor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So in doing that, I taught 1 year pregnant the whole time and did not go back. But where I taught was a school that was at, I think it was a chapter one school, basically. And but I had all these children that I loved and that were in my lap all day. I just didn't really want to be responsible for teaching them anything.
Yeah.
I wanted to love on them, and I wanted to celebrate life with them. And I didn't really want those assessment tools. Like, I didn't want to be the one responsible for, are they meeting benchmark? I also realized at the time why you needed to teach before being a guidance counselor mm-hmm. in the school system, because you needed to understand the school system. I also, just the 1 year, so I don't want to offend anyone, the tiny year that I had there, realized that if you got anywhere close to maybe making progress or getting to the root with a child, due to bunches of red tape and mm-hmm. just the system, which is a good system, but they could pull a kid in their files and walk out, and there was nothing you could do about right. it. And for me, that wasn't my wall.
Yeah.
But it is somebody's wall, and I'm so thankful it's someone's wall. But it wasn't mine. Fast forward years later, I ended up at a nonprofit in a ministry, and okay. And they looked at me and said, so what do you want to do here? And I said, I like the movie Freedom Riders, and I like the song Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield. And they looked at me and said, we'll do that. And I didn't know what that meant, but I was at a public middle school,
okay.
and they pulled kids out, and I got to journal write with them. And from day one, they started writing down their every heartbeat.
I love
all
that.
Of their hurts, their dreams, and they just wanted to be heard, like we all do. We just want to feel like we're not invisible yeah. and that we're really here. And so that's kind of what I've been doing ever since, is writing with teen girls. I'm so thankful for, I'm going to say her name wrong, but Erin Gruel was the teacher in California mm-hmm. that Freedom Riders, the movie, was based on. And all of, oh, you have to watch it. It's so good. Looked up the curriculum. I never actually used the curriculum to be graded on, but used a lot of their journal prompts, which were phenomenal. And started doing that. And then the unwritten part, just that's the journal side of it. Mm-hmm. That's just pouring out your heart in writing. It's been therapy for me and continues to be. And so that's kind of where I am job-wise. And then the painting, when I said I drew my wedding dress, mm-hmm. I never knew I had it in me to want to paint or draw. And a friend of mine and I were going on a mission trip last year for prison ministry. And she said, let's start painting to raise our funds. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I hate a mess. I don't like crafts. But I did like painting. And so...
And you're so good at
it. I paint and I blog. And it all somehow is just interwoven with... I can see the little births of it along yeah. the side of the right thing, but seeds that were planted along the yeah. way. So that's what I'm doing.
I know. That's what I was just thinking. And we were
none
just,
of it was wasted.
No,
none of it.
And we were talking about that before we started recording, but it was like with both of us, we kind of saw, you know, leading up, even though we had these like big dreams, like, okay, you want to be a lawyer, I want to be a journalist. But those were seeds that led
absolutely.
To now and that will continue to lead forever.
Well, and clearly, I'm just kind of seeing this, too, is that I've been so influenced by movies.
Yeah.
By books, by television, by just you in media and
yeah.
wanting to be a news anchor. Mm-hmm. And where I haven't really been drawn a lot to news because it always seems to be so depressing.
Yeah.
but there are really good human interest stories out there. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people
and
doing.
And that's what I love.
I know.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason for that. Okay,
yeah.
so we have to wrap up the
yeah,
job ones. And so this is how we're going to end each episode.
I love this.
Is calling it lightning round, and it's three questions. And so because I came up with the questions today, I will go first because I've had more time to think
yes.
about them. So from Generation X, first question is, when you were little, what was your favorite television show? And so from my generation, it was Sesame Street and Zoom were my little bitty ones. But then Tuesday nights, I had booked my place on the couch, and I would watch Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, Heart to Heart, Fantasy Island, and The Love Boat. Those were like my major ones. Okay,
okay.
Caitlin.
So for me, my
millennial.
Favorite like little kid show was, yes, millennial, was Barney. I mean, cried when that went off. Like Barney.
You.
Yes.
Know the song.
Every day, Barney. And then me and my little brother would watch Blue's Clues a lot. Then it was a lot of...
I got my sound.
gosh, what did... Oh, we loved Kenan and Kel. All those, like, all that.
Now
like
that
all those
I don't know.
See,
never heard of that.
Yeah, Nickelodeon. It was, like, all that. Kenan and Kel, The Amanda Show. Loved those. I mean, me and my brother watched that all the time. So
okay, next question. What was the most newsworthy event, whether just... that you would remember from your childhood? Mine was The 70s was tie a yellow ribbon round the, and it was the Iran hostage crisis. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a lot. I remember the song, and I remember praying for hostages that I didn't know, mm-hmm. but it was major. It was all over the news. And then I remember when President Reagan was shot. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, it was when the space shuttle blew up.
Okay, yeah.
Was traumatizing. Go.
I mean, I'll stick with one because it was huge. Yeah. I was in fourth grade.
I've lived a lot more
and
life.
It was, it was 9/11, and I was wearing my brand new shirt that day that said New York City on it, had the Twin Towers on it. I'll never forget it. And my mom kept the shirt and put it in the closet because everyone was walking around all day pointing at my shirt, and they were like, that's the tower. Those are the towers that went down. And I'll never forget being in fourth grade in Miss Wooten's class watching those towers crash. So that was my newsworthy event.
Okay, last one. As a child, was your favorite vacation or staycation? And mine was, we had a condo in Panama City Beach at a place called Bay Point. And so we would pack up in the car, and I would usually be sandwiched between my grandmother and Aunt Lita and maybe my cousin, Maisie, four across the back seat. Or we would go to Lake Geneva up in Wisconsin. My dad was from Chicago, like from the Illinois, Rockford, Illinois. So those two places, I don't remember flying really anywhere. Mm-hmm. We had those two places, so all of my memories were there.
I guess two that stick out to me was our first beach trip. That was fun. And the car ride down, I just remember playing all those car ride games. I'll never forget that. And then Disney World. The first time we went to Disney World, and Dad woke us up at like 4 in the morning, and we were just... we thought we were going to leave later that day, but he woke us up early and was like, do you guys want to go ahead and go? And that was so much fun. And we didn't fly. We always drove. And so those memories were made because we talked in the car, slept in the car, played the games. And
okay, I'm a Disney World fan, but I do have to share my Disney World quick memory.
Okay.
I was pulling on Dumbo at the merry-go-round because I wanted to get Dumbo to he hit me with his cane. I don't know why Dumbo had a cane. And I was really young, so I could totally be remembering this wrong. But there was something with Dumbo. I was not embraced by Dumbo. And it was very sad.
Scarred for life by Dumbo.
Pretty much.
Oh, man.
Pretty much. But, okay, I'm going to let you wrap it up.
All right. So, wow. Wow, that was a lot. And
30 minutes goes fast.
And as you can see, we go off topic, back on topic. And it's like we have that core, like, okay, jobs. But there are just branches that go off of all of that. And that's what's cool because...
Don't hold us against us. If we have some information wrong or we quote someone wrong, please Google it and give credit where credit's due.
Because we're just going.
We are. And we pray it leaves beauty marks.
Yes. Even though we didn't know Colonel Sanders, we didn't think that it was Colonel Sanders.
But we love Kentucky Fried
love KFC.
And he is a true inspiration.
He is. And even though... Yeah, duh, it was Colonel.
Oh, gotta add this real quick.
Yeah.
My youngest son, who's 15, one day I said, oh, I think I might go back and get my nursing degree because I was thinking, but I don't like blood, so I can't do that. And he looked at me and he goes, you're pretty much done, Mom.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so not
done.
So I hope you hear that.
Yeah.
If you're a Gen X or a millennial or a baby boomer or whatever's further back than that. You're not done. Hear this, you're not done.
You're never done. That's the thing. You can be at the top of the ladder in your career. You're not done. If you want to write that book, do that painting, whatever you want to do, do it.
And a bit of a challenge today for all of us is check your wall.
Check your wall.
And define your wall. If you don't like the wall, you're own. I always said own. I've never said own.
There's
in my
that
life.
Accent. We're from okay, Alabama. It's
check
fine.
Your wall. And we can change our wall today if
wall.
We want to.
I like that. We're leaving you with that. Today, your challenge is as you leave us and stop listening to us as we wrap up, check your wall.
And peace out.
Peace
we love
out.
You.
Yeah, we do love you. And we'll be back. So look for us.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.